Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 1. We're going to come to our final message in our series that we've been doing on the polar attraction to Christ. Polar attraction to Christ. And I began this series with the illustration of the compass, that a compass works because it always points what direction? North, true north. Now, there are some anomalies around the earth that change a compass. You have to be careful when you're flying near the poles. That tears up the true north. It goes all haywire and so forth. And there, you have to be careful that you're not near some type of a magnetic zone, because that, of course, obstructs the needle from reaching true north. But you and I, if we have Jesus Christ as our true north, we'll always be where we ought to be. That's such an important lesson, that we always keep our compass pointed true north. If we allow our compass to start pointing in some other direction, we're going to end up wrong. As we already know, if you take off in an airplane and you're just 1 degree off from the airfield, you will be hundreds of miles off when you think you're going to your destination. Just 1 degree off leaving the airfield, and you will miss your target by hundreds of miles. You have to keep that compass set, and you have to follow the settings that are given to you. The Bible here gives us the illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ meeting His soon-to-be-called disciples. We're given a little look ahead here in this passage before He actually calls them at verse 35 of John chapter 1. And I want to read again verses 35 through 42, give a very brief review, and then we're going to come to our final testimony here of the result of seeing the Lord Jesus, following the Lord Jesus, listening to the Lord Jesus, and what our response to that is, beginning at verse 35. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." I think that's one of the tenderest responses that's found in the Bible. He didn't say, "You know, it's getting kind of late, fellas. I think what we ought to do is maybe meet up tomorrow." Not the Lord Jesus. "Come and see. Let's come and fellowship together." What a blessed response that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to these men. They were kind of lagging behind. I'm sure they were thinking to themselves, "Should we bother him? Should we actually go up to him and ask him if we could stay with him for a little while?" And so they were just walking, and Jesus turns around and says, "You know, what can I do for you, basically? What do you need?" And they asked him, "You know, Lord, can we follow after thee? Can we go to your place?" And he said, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, Andrew, we don't know a lot about him. He's mentioned a few times in the Gospels, but not a lot is known about him. What we know, or the person that we know, is Simon Peter, his brother. Great deal is written about Peter. But Andrew was the one that pointed Peter to Jesus Christ. And we're going to emphasize that tonight. Notice, please, verse 41. "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." Father, bless your word tonight. I pray that you might encourage us tonight as we gather on this Wednesday night. Lord, we know we're right in the middle of a week and things are busy and there's a lot of things on our hearts and minds, but I pray that you would help us to put those things aside. And may we reflect upon your word tonight and receive encouragement as we consider this final message in our series on polar attraction to Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, I pray that your Son would reign supreme in our hearts, that he might truly be the true north of each and every soul that's here tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. John lost two disciples this day. John the Baptist had been leading these men for perhaps several months, and he points to the Lord Jesus as these disciples are with him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He'd already spoken about the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, and he points him out to his disciples. And when they heard that, they immediately left John the Baptist and they went and they followed the Lord Jesus. We find out later that Jesus meets them again up in Galilee, and there he calls them away from their boats and their nets, and he says, "Follow after me and I will make you fishers of men." And they left their nets and followed him. This is a little glimpse before that when they were down in Jerusalem. This is Passover time. They're down in Jerusalem. It was required of every male that they go 3 times a year down to Jerusalem at the main feast days to worship at the temple. And so the men are down here in Jerusalem. They meet up with Jesus through the contact they had with John the Baptist. And these two follow after the Lord at this particular time, and then they go back up to Galilee. Now, by his faithful preaching, John lost 2 disciples. I wonder if we could have that testimony said of us. I lost 2 disciples today, but they're following the Lord Jesus. I spoke not too long ago with a pastor that was bemoaning the fact that in their Christian school, they lost 3 veteran teachers. And he was sharing and said, what a sad thing that was, and what a difficult thing it was to try to find teachers to take their place. And he was saying about how that in one of their cases, they got married and went off with another individual to another Christian school and were teaching up there. And said, "I wish God would have called them to stay right here." And I said, "Isn't it wonderful to know that they're serving the Lord?" And he just got, "Yes, it is. Yes, it is." And I said, I know where you're coming from. Been there. Done that. But if they're in God's work and they're in the center of God's will and God calls them to another place, who are they supposed to be following? Me? The administrator of a school? A principal of a school? Or are they supposed to follow God? Now, on the other hand, we've seen the other take place, where they got up and just left, and then their lives just went all to pieces and all kinds of things happening because they chose to go outside the will of God. The safest place to live, and we've said this many times from this pulpit, the safest place to live is in the center of God's will. The center of God's will. I've used this illustration many, many times, but such an apt one of John Payton, the missionary to New Hebrides, about meeting his father on the moors there in Scotland. And as they were saying their goodbyes, the father knew that he probably would never see his son John again. So he gave his son a hug and they were gone. He started to walk away. And he said he stood there waiting for his father to turn back and glance at him so he could say a final goodbye. He said his dad never looked back. In a letter that came to him some year later, whenever he could get the mail, he had already sent a letter to his father wanting to know why he didn't turn back and wave at him. He said, "Son, you don't understand. When you were born, I turned you over to God. I knew you'd be safe because I was leaving you in God's hands. There was no need for me to turn back and to wave at you and so forth. I already had left you in the Lord's care. So that's why I didn't turn back and wave." You know, sometimes we allow emotions to get between us and serving God. We ought not let that happen. We've got to allow God to rule in our hearts and lives and allow the Lord to rule in the hearts and lives of our children and our grandchildren and in our ministry. You know, I've had young people that I've seen come to this school and say, "Boy, it would be so wonderful if they'd come back and teach here at Santa Rosa Christian School, and then God would call them to the mission field." We've seen that happen. We have one right now in Peru serving the Lord down there. I've often asked the Lord, "Lord, why couldn't you just left her here? Boy, she is such a sweetheart, tremendous piano teacher, violin teacher, loves the Lord. She could have, in my mind, taught at Santa Rosa Christian School, and she came to me said, "Pastor Brainerd, what do you think? The Lord's just burdened my heart." And I never once said to her, "Would you reconsider and stay here at Santa Rosa Christian School?" I simply told her, "You do what God wants you to do. You do what God wants you to do." That's hard to say when you need a piano teacher and you need a music teacher in the classroom and you need a violin teacher. It's hard to say, "You do what God calls you to do." But if I were to call her, she'd be out of the will of God. There are a lot of preachers that think they're called of God to instruct people on where they're to go and how they're to live and do this and do that. I am not the Holy Spirit. I'm just the servant of God. All I do is preach what Jesus has already said. It's not my job to call people. It's not my job to send people. It's my job to be a witness for Jesus Christ and uplift the hands of the saints. Now, if there's someone that's going off in a wrong direction, then I'm going to be their friend and I'm going to speak up. And you know, say, "Listen, you need to consider what you're doing. You're going contrary to the Word of God because you're loving this in the world." I wouldn't be their friend if I wasn't honest with them. At the same time, if God's working in hearts and drawing people to another place, then I'll look at that, "Lord, you allowed this ministry to be a help and a blessing in their lives to further them in the cause that you're in charge of. Lord, bless them as they go to serve in that place." And we ought to pray for them, and we ought to support them, and we ought to be involved in their ministries. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Michelle Schmitz serving the Lord over in China, one of our own. Got married, God called him to go over there and minister the Word. We don't know how much longer. God may have something else in store. But it thrills my heart that this ministry had a role in her heart and life. And I could go down the list of different individuals, an individual that kept coming up over and over again as in the receiving line there at the funeral home were people that knew Eric and Kathy Woods serving the Lord at Bob Jones Academy. Oh, I had him for a band teacher. Oh, I know her. She was involved. I played the clarinet. And then we began to, I said, "Yes, I grew up with Eric and had the opportunity to," and different names came up. During that time, different individuals serving in different places in God's vineyard. All right? Now, here's John the Baptist. He said goodbye to two of his disciples. That's not an easy thing to do. But who were they following? They were following the Lord Jesus. And so John the Baptist was happy to lose two disciples because he knew that they were really not lost. They were following the Lord Jesus. And by the way, what was his role? He was to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his ministry, these two were helped. And much of the New Testament scripture we have is influenced by one of those men that was saved as a result of being pointed by his brother to the Lord Jesus, Simon Peter. 1 and 2 Peter. We know he heavily influenced the writing of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, Peter was his testimony. That's where he got a lot of his information from. And we have much more that we can accredit to Peter and his understandings that we have in the Word of God. Now, I want us to see, as we look at Andrew tonight, one who, after he followed the Lord, went out and told his brother. I want to read again what we find here. Verse 40, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He," that is Andrew, "first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus." Now, I want you to see, after he heard the Lord Jesus, after he followed the Lord Jesus and fellowship with the Lord Jesus, what did he do? What's his first response to having met with Jesus Christ? He went to his brother first and told him about Jesus. Told him about the Christ. That's what's emphasized here. Wasn't a very long message that he said to his brother. "We have found the Christ." And what did he do? And he took him to Jesus. I want to share with you very briefly here four thoughts on the natural flow of events following the fellowship between the disciples and Jesus. Your fellowship with Jesus impacts your life. Do you understand this? Your fellowship with Jesus impacts others in your circle. What kind of an impact are you having tonight? Are you having an impact for Jesus Christ? Is your fellow? I want to draw an illustration if I can. Imagine if I have a magnet right here. All right? This magnet here works well. And I bring over one of those giant paper clips. I like giant paper clips. I don't like the little teeny tiny ones. They always pop off on anything I'm doing. I like the really big ones. They pop on, they don't come off. If I take that giant paper clip and I stick it on the magnet, all right, and I let it sit there, all right, that paper clip is now attracted to the magnet. I pull away the paper clip and I go over to a stack of other paper clips, and what happens? It attracts other paper clips. Now, that paper clip didn't do that before. It was what? Magnetized. Are you seeing my illustration here? When you are with Jesus Christ on a daily basis in the Bible, you're magnetized. You understand that? You're magnetized. And when you go out from your time spent with Jesus, you're a different person. And you're able to go out and you're able to attract others for the purpose of bringing them to the one who magnetized you. And that's Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Andrew did. Andrew first went to his brother. Isn't that interesting? First in order. First in time. He said, I'm going to go tell my brother. Let me ask you something. Have you talked to your family members about Jesus Christ? Do they know? Do you talk with your grandchildren, pick up the phone, and just talk to them and say, hey, I was thinking about you today. You know, we have such a responsibility to make sure that we go first to our family. I think that Jesus included this testimony here because He wants us to understand our role with our own family. Wouldn't it be awful to stand before Jesus Christ one day and you never spoke a word to your family about the faith? It would cause me to think maybe you've never been magnetized. Maybe you've never been joined with Christ. And that time of fellowship and that transformational change that took place in your life has changed your heart and life to the point, I want to see my family saved. I want to see them walking with Christ. Sometimes that makes you unpopular. Sometimes that may say, I don't want anything to do with you. We've heard that testimony before of individuals that tried to be a witness and testimony to their family said, don't talk to me about that stuff. Don't bother me with that stuff anymore. Well, all you can do is pray and live Christ before them. You know, sometimes that's a greater witness than just talking. Some people talk one way and live another. And the people will watch how you live above how you talk. But what did Andrew do? He made himself, first of all, the messenger. He himself became the messenger to his own brother. And you and I today enjoy the blessings of what Andrew did for his brother. Because you and I can read 1 and 2 Peter, the testimony of a saved man sharing what happened in his heart and life. And he came to the point and said, listen, the Bible is not of any private interpretation. And he said, basically, the Word of God is more powerful than my eyewitness testimony of being with Jesus. Here was a man that was wonderfully transformed because his brother loved him enough to take him to Jesus. Do you love your family enough to take them to Jesus? You say, well, I've tried several times. That's good. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. I don't mean be a pain in the neck. I'm just talking about be an active witness for Christ to them. You know, as the days go by, we're not getting any younger, are we? I get reminded every time I look in the mirror. Seems like my hair is just about white now. It used to be gray, now it's about white. And that's just a reminder, you're getting older. But here we go with this natural flow of events. Andrew became the messenger to his own brother. Why is it that we pray for someone else to bring the message of salvation to our family members when we should be the ones to give it? Dr. Hobbs used to encourage us as young parents, you be the ones to lead your children to Christ. I took that on as a mission. I wanted to see all four of my children saved. And so I had the opportunity of leading them to Christ. Because that's my job as a father, to lead my children to Jesus Christ. I don't know how I can emphasize this anymore. You young people that are here, one of these days you're going to be getting married. Are you going to make your family your mission field? It troubles me so when I see parents that don't consider their children as a mission field. They'll be heavily involved in Sunday school, they'll be heavily involved in something else, but when it comes to their own children, they're just like, they're there, they're living under the same roof, but I want to tell you something. They're our mission field. And we're to lead them to Christ. And Andrew was concerned about his brother. He wanted to see his brother saved. And so he went straight to him first. And this was his message. I want you to notice this. Just a few words. We have found the Messiah. Literally, we have found the promised one, the Christ. And he took him to Jesus. Listen, folks, you don't have to have a lot of words. Some people think they've got to memorize these long passages and so forth. All you have to do is take people to Jesus. That's all you have to do. To take them to the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfectly capable of saving souls. He needs people that are willing to use their feet and their mouth to go and to tell others about Jesus Christ. Honor and uplift Jesus Christ. I had just a quick, unusual opportunity. We were at the pizza place Sunday night after church, right down the street from the church, and I was walking in to refill my tea, and a gentleman over on the side said, "Sir, sir," put his hands up to his mouth, "come here." So I walked over there to him. He said, "Sir, I just want you to know, I watched you. Y'all came out, they delivered your pizza out there, and every one of you bowed your heads and prayed. There wasn't a one of you that didn't do that. I just want you to know, I appreciate that." He was drinking a Bud Light while he was talking. And so I said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" I said, "The reason that we prayed is because we love the Lord Jesus, and He provided the food that we're eating tonight, and we wanted to thank Him. Do you know Jesus Christ?" And it just rolled right off his lips. I mean, I barely got the words out. "I've been a Christian all my life." And I said, "Well, sir," I said, "if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ and believing on the Son, Jesus Christ, then you need to do that." I said, "I hope you're not a Christian because you thought you were born into a Christian family or you got baptized. Those aren't what do it." And I said, "You know, you need to just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And immediately he said, "Well, thank you, sir. I just wanted to tell you." So I didn't push the conversation. I walked away. But you know what? Just having a word of prayer spoke to that individual. We were living out our faith. We don't think anything about, you know, it's not a question about whether we're going to pray over our food or not. We're going to pray. We're going to thank God for it. But for someone that's probably not used to that and seeing it and seeing college students at their table praying, and Michael and my kids were all over at another table, they prayed, and Chris and Brenda were praying at their spot, and Brian and who else was sitting? I guess Michael were together there, and they prayed there. Said, "Every one of you prayed. I just want you to know that spoke to my heart." Listen, folks, we don't know what opportunities are out there. And we don't have to have a lot of words. As a matter of fact, the less words we talk about ourselves and the more we say about Jesus, the better. Just give them scripture verses if you don't know what to say. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one unto his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You can preach a message just from those two verses of Scripture. Your sin, my sin, was laid on the perfect Lamb of God, the one who suffered willingly for me. And if you believe that message, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved too. That brings me to a second point. Andrew brought the right message to his brother. The right message. Not only was he the right messenger himself, but he had the right message to bring to his brother. We do not have to be great preachers or clever speakers. We need only to tell men about the Lord Jesus in simple words, and God will take care of the rest. Do you believe in that kind of evangelism? I do. I believe in that kind of evangelism. I think I've been taught just about every kind of program that you can be taught to an individual. There are books and volumes. I've read just about all of them. But I'll tell you, nothing will take away from just a life lived in service to Jesus Christ and just saying scripture verses to someone, a young person, an elderly person, a middle-aged person, and just letting them know, listen, I love you, and you're on my heart, and I'm concerned about your eternal soul and where you're going to live eternity. Can I just share with you a few verses of scripture from God's Word? You ought to have at least a few verses memorized where you can point someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. So important that you bring the right message. Number three, Andrew brought his brother to the right place and to the right person. Did you notice that in the text? We have found the Christ, and he took him to Jesus. He took him to the right place and to the right person. Let me tell you something. God honors those servants that take people to the right place and to the right person. Now notice, I didn't say bring him to church. I didn't say read him a creed. I did not say to take him to the clergyman. I said to take them to Jesus. If you take a person to the Lord Jesus, then the Lord will take care of their need. The Lord will take care of their soul. He brought him to Jesus. Because of Andrew's interest in his own brother, Peter later became a great fisher of men and one of the leading apostles of the Lord. Andrew will doubtless share Peter's reward because it was Andrew who brought him to Jesus. There is no other place or person to bring someone other than to Jesus. Keep that simple thought in mind. And that brings us to the final thought here. Andrew trusted Jesus Christ to do what needed to be done with his brother Simon. This was a family issue. He knew his brother was lost. He knew his brother Cephas, Peter, Simon, was lost. And he said, if I can just get him to Jesus. You know what Andrew had witnessed? We're going to get into this on Sunday, Lord willing, in the message finishing up chapter 14 of Matthew. When Jesus had finished that miracle on the Sea of Galilee and the boat came ashore, there were people who came up and recognized Jesus. And they sent word out into the village and said, Jesus is here. And they began to call out to all of their family members who were sick. And they came, and the Bible records there in those last verses of chapter 14 that they cried out to Jesus and begged Him that they only should touch the hem of His garment. And they knew that they would be healed. Andrew had witnessed people trusting Jesus to deliver them. And what he did was full of faith. He trusted Jesus to do whatever changes needed to be done to his brother Peter. He didn't take on that role. He left that with the Lord Jesus Christ. When faith is real, Jesus will work in hearts. That's a wonderful comfort to a pastor, to a missionary. Jesus will do the work. What's our job? Take them to Jesus. This is one of the great evangelistic models that's found in the Gospels, and so many times gets subverted and changed into some other type of methodology. What we need to do is trust Jesus Christ with souls. Take them to Jesus. We have found the Christ. And take them to Jesus. Take them to the Word that honors Jesus Christ. And then we will see the Lord begin to work in their hearts. We have to learn that it was Jesus Christ who transformed Peter, gave him a new name, made him into a different person. Oh, Peter had his problems for sure. But he came out on the right end, did he not? And when it came time to leave this earth, he begged the executioners, according to Josephus, begged the executioner, do not crucify me in the same manner as my precious Lord. Turn the cross upside down. I'm not worthy to hang in the same position. And tradition tells us that he was hung upside down and crucified. Let me tell you something. Peter was a transformed individual, and it was his brother who brought him to Jesus. That's the result. That's the response that comes with following after Jesus, listening to Jesus, fellowshipping with Jesus. There's a response that comes. I want to tell others about my Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to be that kind of faithful witness.